The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Merry Christmas Eve, everyone. Welcome to the Bible Information Brokers. The Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. We are here to answer your questions from a biblical perspective. With gentleness and respect, as Michael Tinsley says. My name is Eric Statton. I'm one of the teammates here on the Bible Information Brokers. Before I go any farther and introduce the rest of the teammates and give you the phone number to start calling, I want to just say to everyone, I pray that everyone will always remember the reason that we celebrate this time, and that would be the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and never forget the gift of the ultimate sacrifice that he made for us in forgiveness of our sins and cleansing us of all unrighteousness. May we always keep that with us and know that that is the source of our salvation.
Amen.
Like I said, let me give you the number to start calling in with your questions. That's 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552. Or if it's easier for you to remember, 888-995-KKLA. And now, as promised, let me introduce you to one of our other teammates, and that would be Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton. Daryl, Merry Christmas Eve to you.
To you also, Brother Eric. How are you feeling today?
I sound good.
You sound great.
I just came from actually a Christmas gathering of our family this evening.
Yeah, you know, I won't say anything about the attire that we're wearing. They can see me kind of, sort of, but, you know, I'm just enjoying the outfit that you have. It's very, very festive and very, you know, makes you feel like home.
Well,
I think Ozzy can attest to that.
I think festive was kind of pretty much the right word for it.
If Ozzy, if you don't mind, I'm going to just say congratulations to you and your family, man, for the up-and-coming baby. If that's okay to say, I hope it is because I've said it. Congratulations to your brother and your family, all right? God bless you, man.
He says thank you.
Very good, very good. Well, Eric, why don't I go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and then we can give the number again and information on how people can contact the broadcast, and I'll bring the other teammate on momentarily, and then we'll get right into the show. We want to, you know, really during this time, want to answer as many questions as we can. We'll be a little more loose with the broadcast. I pray that, you know, we can be a little tolerant because folks may have some things they want to express that we don't normally get into, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. Would that be okay with you, Mr. Eric? If you can hear me.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. What was that?
No, that's okay. I'm just saying that why don't we give the people an opportunity to call in again. I'm going to give the number after I pray and information on the call. And can we be a little more loose today because it's Christmas Eve? The people might want to have some extra things to say. But, you know, I've got my finger on the drop button just in case somebody get a little bit too long-winded like, you know, yours truly can be sometime. I'll just never drop it on myself, that's all.
No, you don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think the callers would love that.
Well, we'll see how it goes. And those that may want to just, you know, kind of shout out to their family, as it were, before we get right into the question, that'll be fine as well. So why don't we get into a word of prayer and then get the program started.
Please do.
You know, Father God, as I was driving here, I pray to you because of a sign I saw that said Atheists United. And I just ask and pray, Lord, that by your spirit that we can unite because of you. because of the way you so love the world, as Eric talked about how you gave your only begotten Son for us, the God-man. Lord, we're celebrating this day, maybe not necessarily the exact day that Christ was born, that Jesus the Christ, but Lord, we just thank you for the privilege and opportunity to set this time aside to try to learn more of you. And I just ask and pray that as each and every person would consider how to participate, how they can actively be involved with this broadcast, Lord, I just ask and pray that you might move upon their hearts the way that you would have them to participate today. That is my earnest prayer. And I ask it in Jesus' precious and matchless name for you, Lord, to give us not only all that we have already have from you, but you would give us the special unction from you on how we are to deal with this broadcast tonight, live, before we get into tomorrow, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the privilege. We thank you for honoring you. And as always, I ask, Lord, can you help us be edified through the honoring of you? In Jesus' precious and matchless name, amen.
Amen. Hey, before you go on, yes, brother, sir. I would be remiss if I didn't say, Facebook is live.
I really appreciate that. So, folks, as a matter of fact, that's a good starting point, Eric. For those that are on Facebook or those that are on Truth Social or any of the social medias at the same address of Bible Info Brokers, that's Facebook, Truth Social, the Messenger, and Twitter, then send your questions in that way. We appreciate you utilizing those platforms. And when you do so, if they have an opportunity for you to click a share button on there, which most of them have, then share with your contacts that you are listening to our broadcast and that you are participating in a broadcast. And maybe they can join in live, or maybe they can tune into our archive shows futuristically. For those that want to call Eric right now, and he has all his lines open, he's prepared to receive your phone call at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number, as Eric says, 888-995-KKLA, if it's easier for you to remember. Please call him right now, and we take an opportunity to get you in queue so we can get your questions and have a seamless and question-filled show. So, again, those of you that are going to call in, call Eric right now at 888-995-5552. All the rest of you, if you want to send an email, you can do so by the address livebyword@aol.com, livebyword@aol.com, or get the question to us tonight by email. So there you have the formats, and I'll be repeating those later on in the broadcast. But without further ado, I want to bring on to this broadcast my esteemed, I would call him friend, because he definitely is that. He fits the bill for that. But he's more than a friend. He is telephonically Professor Craig Hawkins, PCH, as I call him. Welcome, sir, to the broadcast.
Daryl, wherever you go, there I am.
All right. Which one is going to be Ruth? Which one is going to be Esther? There you go. Hey, PCH, how you feeling, brother?
Okay, it's late night for me. It's already Christmas where I am.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You got any snow out there?
No.
What?
Cold weather, but no snow.
Just cold and no snow. Man, my goodness, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, as Eric is setting up the phone calls, if there's anything on your mind, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that, because we don't have the call set up yet, and I'm going to check and see if people are on the other medias that we gave. If there's anything special you want to offer in the beginning of the broadcast, PCH, go ahead and offer that. If something's on your mind, go ahead and offer that now, because then if there's some time, I have something I want to throw out to you, which may be a bit dicey, but I still want to get it out to you, if that's okay.
You, Daryl Dicey?
Oh. Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah, how strange is that?
Can't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what. Here we are at Christmas, and literally Christmas means literally Christ sent. God sent himself, or I should say God sent his son, speak more correctly, properly, into the world. And he does that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And everlasting life doesn't mean just longevity. It's a quality of life. It is life that God intended for us to have, life that is truly life, life and that more abundantly, as Christ says in John 10:10. And for many, it sounds like, well, it's a fairy tale. Well, let's be honest. Some say it's too good to be true. But I would argue, as C.S. Lewis did and others, that no, indeed, it comports with our deepest desires, our greatest longings. That it's kind of like saying, well, there, just because I have a toothache and I long for a dentist to end my pain and to fix the cavity or the tooth or what have you, that therefore dentists don't exist. Well, that doesn't follow. In fact, we would argue that we long to go to the dentist because dentists do exist. And we go to have for dental hygiene and health and to get a tooth fixed or what have you. Daryl, I guess my point is Christmas is not once upon a time. It's not a fairy tale, but it is when Quirinius was governor. It is a specific time, a specific place. Jesus came into the world, and the overwhelming historicity of the gospel is what is on my mind. That this is faith become fact, or fact, if you will, that gives rise to our faith, if you will, faith founded upon fact, I should say. Faith founded on fact, to get that straight. That's what this is all about, and the evidence, I would argue, in the New Testament is overwhelming as to the historicity and truthfulness of the gospel, and as well, I would say that it's so incredible that there is incredible evidence. Even if we had no Bible, if we couldn't use the Bible, which I will argue we can and should, as a historical, indeed a reliable historical document, that the evidence is overwhelming outside of the New Testament. When you start bringing in authors and writers, people like Josephus and many other non-Christians who attest to all the main points of the gospel, of the life of Christ, his historicity, and his work. I'm not saying they're all believed. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, I'm making the point that a number of people, of course, didn't believe, but they still reference Christ. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people who are your enemies, or at least your opponents, if not your enemies, they make your case for you. It's like there were people like Marcion and other people in the early church who disagreed with the gospel, but they mention like all the books in the New Testament. So they give us a list of the books that other people said didn't even exist. Here's an enemy of Christianity saying, no, these books do exist, and they disagree with them. In other words, there's power in that, ironically, kind of like the proverbial backhanded compliment. Mm. It says a lot more than the sayers thereof, purveyors thereof intended. So the beauty of this, and we can talk more at length if we want to, is of the historicity of Christ, the truthfulness of Christianity. This isn't just a great story, and it is.
Yes.
Indeed, if I can use the title of a famous essay by C.S. Lewis, myth become fact, myth become fact. And he's not arguing that it's mythological in the sense of it didn't happen, but like myths, there is what J.R.R. Tolkien referred to as the U catastrophe. The U catastrophe, we know what catastrophe is, a horrific, tragic event, whatever that may be, of some, you know, radical earthquake or seismic movement of the earth or tidal wave or whatever the case may be. But the U catastrophe is the ultimate good, the U there, the prefix, the good event, and that is the entrance of Christ into the world and his death, burial, and resurrection, and what it states, as Christ says, regarding the truthfulness, his identity and what he said was true, who he claimed to be is true, that is the Son of God, God the Son, who dies for our sins and rises again for our justification, to make us able to have a right relationship with God, to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, to believe on him and him alone for salvation. And that's the good news. That is God's gift. I mean, we haven't described it in full detail, but we've certainly started just now what we said to talk about the gospel, mm-hmm. The good news. And Daryl, this is always important to me, but I think of people who are suffering. There's people listening right now who have cancer, stage four, who've lost a loved one recently, or right in the midst of this, perhaps even have just been or are at, or will be in the next hour or two or more, in some type of intensive care unit or emergency room, and seeing the demise of either themselves or a loved one. And even in the midst of those tragedies and heartaches, and we want to be sensitive to those, but we also want to boldly proclaim the good news that Christ has conquered death, that death is horrific, that suffering is horrific, and God knows that. And even though we brought this upon ourselves, God doesn't give us what we deserve, but he gives us his Son, and he gives us the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of our sins and the ultimate cleansing, the ultimate divine physician, the ultimate, if I could say it this way, the ultimate cardiologist, Jesus Christ. And that's the good news that I celebrate tonight. And I think of this one last thing here, Daryl. I know I'm getting a little long-winded. I was just in Phoenix. I'm out of state now, somewhere else right now. But I was in Phoenix and visiting some pastors and working with Hmong, our dear friend from India. Unfortunately, we were not able to have him on last week. We had some technical issues with the broadcast. But Hmong was in town, was in the States. He's gone back home now. Our dear friend from India that we work with so closely in training pastors, Christian missionaries, leaders, and Bible translators, and had a great time with Hmong. But as I was driving out to Phoenix and then back, there is a station. I'm not going to give the call letters. I don't want to give them any more press than they have already. But it's a station, and at least every time I've listened to it, it's nothing but atheism. Now, it may have more. I've had trouble tracking it down. Well, I'll say this. I can mention if someone wanted to know the call letters. And I had just discovered this last time I was out there. I was also visiting my father, who, Lord willing, will turn 96 next month. 96.
Wow.
Sorry, with all due respect, one tough old bird, as he was known in the military, to say the least. But my heart was grieved as I listened to this station attacking the gospel and attacking Christians, and these guys just dedicated to ripping Christianity, and so impressed with their own alleged prowess and their great arguments against Christianity and their so-called street epistemology and all this other stuff. And I just watch. I don't deny them their right to believe and practice what they want until God says otherwise. That is when their lives are over, at the end of their lives, as such as it may be. But my point is that they were just ripping on people. Many people were clearly not equipped to go up against them. Kind of like, a gunfight, and one guy's a trained shooter and has been in many a shootout, and another guy's a novice. He may be on the right side, but he's no match for the gunslinger. And these guys are gunslingers, I would say, and are just ripping on Christians and their arguments and what have you. And it grieves my soul. Not that they don't have a right to express their views. That's not what I'm saying. Teaching at a law school, I defend their right to believe and practice what they want in this context, even though I vehemently disagree with it. But it was just sad that the emptiness what are you going to put in its place? Of course, they'd say, well, I put truth in its place or whatever. But I would argue, no, you've misplaced truth. You've jettisoned truth, and you're putting in your own fairy tales. Oh, they'd be aghast to hear me say that. If they were listening, I would be delighted to hear me say that. I wanted to call in, but I couldn't even get the number. But I've heard this several times going in and out of the Phoenix, the metropolitan area of Phoenix. And it's just sad. And yet, on the other hand, I think of my point, Daryl, the sadness, the emptiness of what they had to say. Yet I think of the fullness and the richness of the gospel and what God offers us. And it's not just a wish fulfillment. One guy, at a point, almost sounded like a guy named Ludwig Feuerbacher and the Essence of Christianity, and talked about wish fulfillment. And his point was, because if we desire something, that means it's not true. That was his argument. I don't think he meant to say it that way, but just because we desire it, that proves it's not true. No, it doesn't. Once again, I end where I started. I may desire to go to the dentist. Does that mean dentists don't exist? I have a horrific toothache, and I want the pain ended, and I want to restore health to my mouth, to my body. Therefore, because I desire to go to the dentist or a doctor for any other physical ailment, that means they don't exist. No. Just because I desire it doesn't mean it exists either. That's not my point. But I do believe there's some things we desire, and they are true. And the gospel is true. There is life, and that more abundantly. There is meaning. There is significance. There is purpose. One can have true ultimate identity, and that's found in the living Savior, the true and living Jesus Christ of history. And I end with this point on maybe perhaps it sounds anticlimactic, but I think of two of my favorite books. One is The Historical Jesus, Ancient Evidence for the Life of Christ by Gary Habermas. Talk about a Christmas present you might want to give yourself or a loved one. The Historical Jesus. Buy it for a loved one and read it yourself, too. The Historical Jesus, Ancient Evidence for the Life of Christ by Gary Habermas. Pronounced Moss, but spelled Mass. H-A-B-E-R-M-A-S. I guess he was sent to Gary Habermas. Ancient Evidence for the Life of Christ. And the other one is by John Warwick Montgomery. John Warwick Montgomery. History, Law, and Christianity. History, Law, and Christianity. Subtitled, and just remember the first part, History, Law, and Christianity. Subtitled, How Does the Historic Evidence for the Christian Message Hold Up Against Cross-Examination? There you go. My two gifts to people tonight, my indeed in addition to the gospel, but the recommendation of two phenomenally academically sound books, on the historicity of the gospel, on the historicity of Jesus Christ, and why one ought to believe in Jesus Christ as one's personal Lord and Savior. That's what I want to talk about this Christmas.
Wow. I guess you didn't have much to say. I'm glad I kind of put, I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that, but it seemed like we're going to go full circle with that sign I saw just blinked right in my face. It's like it just hit the car or something as I was driving this Atheists United, and we'll go full circle on that. But try to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the information out again for people to call in. I see, Ted, we're going to go to you because it's an interesting transition as far as that is concerned, or what Ted is asking. But folks, you can dial right now. Eric is anxiously waiting for your phone call. Did you have a cookie over there, Eric? There was cookies in the back. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm sorry. Craig's not here. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't want to start that cookie stuff again. I slept that time. I'm getting a little older. But 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552 is the number. Call Eric right now. Please get him busy. We want to keep him occupied. Everyone else, you can go on Facebook. You can go on Truth Social. You can go on Twitter or Messenger and send us a question at the same address, Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers, and send your question in that way as well. And then if you want to send us an email question, I'll check those momentarily, is at livebyword@aol.com. livebyword@aol.com to send us an email question. PCAs, that wasn't really meant to, you know, get a solicitor response from you, but I apologize for if it, you know, I don't think it offended you because you're tougher than that. You know, you got a tough dad, so I know you're tough. So, you know, that. There you go. Let's bring Ted on the line. I love myself. Let's bring Ted from the City of Angels. Hey, Ted. How you doing, brother? Yeah. Merry Christmas to you, man.
Merry Christmas.
All right. It's interesting, your question I saw. So I really want to get into it because when Craig was talking, what he was talking about as far as the atheists and everything and Christmas and what it's all about, and your question for me kind of chimes right into what we're dealing with the secular world and the United and the Atheist United and the whole atheist construct with the show Craig was listening to. So why don't you tell us what your question is, Brother Ted?
Well, the question is, do you really think Santa Claus has the power to affect Christianity? Because I grew up, you know, I was an altar boy, and and when we were old enough, we realized that Santa Claus was just a fairy tale. But as a kid, you know, it's just like a fun thing. And if anything, that it pretty much promotes Christmas, you know, in whatever way, shape, or form. Just the fact that it's in their speaking, in their tongue, that the seeds are being planted even to non-believers. So I just don't think it really matters either way to me, because it's in other words, when somebody's in a foxhole, you know, they're not yelling out, "Hey, Santa Claus, can you save my life?" They're yelling out to God, you know, in the middle of a battlefield. And that's a known thing in the military. They said there are no atheists in a foxhole when the bullets start flying. So what's your take on that, gentlemen?
PCH, go ahead with that. I'm doing some other things right now. Go ahead and take that, PCH.
Well, thanks, Ted, and Merry Christmas, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Officially, again, at least for me, I'm time zone, so it is Christmas here. No, it is a great question, and there's a number of ways to go on it. So let me try this tact, and you can adjust it if you'd like. I mean, I could be all depressed and go, "Santa Claus, that's so materialistic and mythological, and it really eschews or basically hides the gospel, and with a bunch of gibberish and nonsense, and particularly something used for commercialism just to sell stuff and what have you." But I take a more optimistic note, and I'm often not optimistic. I like to consider myself a realist. The glass is half full, half empty, whichever way you want to look at it, but it's not full. So let's be real about it. But Santa Claus is based, in fact, upon a historical personage, one named Sinterklaas, who was, in fact, a leader in the early church and apparently was at the Council of Nicaea in 325 and apparently had some appearance related to the so-called picture we see of Santa Claus, portly or not, but with the big, you know, white beard and all that stuff. But this was an actual person, Sinterklaas, who was a leader in the church around Nicaea, 325 A.D., was apparently at that first ecumenical church council, and was known for his love for children and giving gifts to children because he loved them because of his love for God. And so I start with that, I end with that, and leave it at that for me personally. And I understand some don't see it that way, but that what I just said is true. That isn't a made-up story. I'm not making up that part. I'm not talking about necessarily reindeer or anything else and all that stuff. But indeed, Sinterklaas was a Christian who loved people, and that, to me, are the natural consequences of the gospel. Because God loves us, he calls us to love others and to share the good news with them. So I try to use it as a springboard to talk about Jesus and what he's done and how, again, not mythological. The word myth actually has 4, 5, 6 different meanings, even in academia. And we tend to think of the one where it's mythological. It's like Grimm's fairy tales or something, whether or not it has a moral to the story. But in fact, the story itself, if you will, is not literally true in that it happened in the time-space continuum. I would argue there is indeed veracity to Santa Claus. And I use it to point to the true giver of gifts, the true ultimate person who knows whether one has been, how they are or not with their relationship with God. And that's, and with us, it's those who don't know Christ, it's not good, it's not with God, but there is the ultimate Santa Claus, if you'll allow me to say that, hopefully not be offensive, but the ultimate true Santa Claus, and that is none other and is only Jesus Christ. That's my thoughts. Ted, what do you have to say?
Amen. Amen. I agree with you 100%, you guys. I mean, it doesn't affect my faith at all. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a great launching pad. And also, I mean, I don't really like listening to like K-Love saying, you know, "Happy Holidays" when all they're playing is Christian music and jingle bells. I don't like that. But you know, everybody else seems to want to do it when I go out shopping. And I always say there's only one for me, and that's Christmas and Merry Christmas. So it's wonderful. It's just an opportunity for me to put an emphasis on Christianity and Jesus, and they can say Happy Holiday all they want, but I'm not going to say it.
Indeed, and I'm always trying to use every legitimate opportunity to share the gospel, so I really appreciate your attitude. To me, it's just one more opportunity to – people are reminded to me that we are in need of something. And, yeah, I know Christmas for most people is excess and buying things they don't need and or can't even afford. But it does point to someone who provides for another and hopefully ideally out of love. And that maybe our motives are suspect and sketchy, but God's are not. He does it not because he needs anything from us. Indeed, he doesn't need us, but he chooses to have relationship and fellowship with us, and that's through Jesus Christ, through his gift. And even the point, I think, of Xmas, a lot of people, and I understand it, are offended by saying just Xmas. And they're like, I've heard it, you're Xing Jesus out of Christmas, or, you know, that's disrespectful. But actually, the early church committed Christians were the ones that used Xmas. They were the first to use that, because Rx, if you will, key in Greek is CH, is the first two letters for us, at least. It's one in Greek, it's a CH key, but it's CH, of course, two letters for us. The key row, that is, those are the first two letters, or CHR, of Christ. And it was just a way to cut to the chase of Christ is the center of Christmas, of Christianity. So there you go.
Wow.
Good points, gentlemen. Good points on both of your parts. I really appreciate that. Ted, as usual, man, appreciate your call, man. God bless you.
God bless you guys. Love you both. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Ted.
You know, PCH, the number of folks you can call, Eric has those open lines, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. All the other social media ways you can do it is Bible Info Brokers as the address for Facebook, Truth Social, Messenger and Twitter. Send me an email at liveByWord@AOL.com, liveByWord@AOL.com, and we get those questions asked and answered. PCA, I'm almost going to go full circle back as people don't call in or people don't send questions in tonight, or want to give some shout-outs to their family members. I want to get back to what you were dealing with, but before we do, I do want to take an opportunity to let the people know, towards the end of the year and towards this time of Christmas giving and overspending and everything on things that you probably don't need, but I'm just going to throw it out there like this, that you are a steward, whether you know it or not. If you're a believer, you're most definitely one, and it's all throughout the Word, that you are a steward of all that God gave you. If you look at Christmas giving or giving to your family members, that's fine. That's great. I mean, God bless you for having the wherewithal and having the means to do so. But I want you to really just seriously consider the whole idea about your Christianity and your responsibility to the Lord's kingdom, and the powerful information that you have by being in the body of Christ. And we're going to be talking about the unity of the body of Christ, sort of like my full circle on what Craig was saying in the beginning, dealing with the atheists and stuff like that. But I want to take this opportunity right now, Craig, to let the people know how they can give, not to us, but through us. I was contemplating that today at church, and we was doing the offering time, and I teared up, not during the offering time, but during the time when the preacher was talking about how God so loved the world. And while we were yet, you know, sinners, man, he sent his son for us. If that doesn't deserve you to contemplate what's going on, just imagine yourself being saved by somebody in a car or what have you, and they pushed you out the way and their life was taken. Now, I'm not trying to charge you up for any kind of guilt or anything like that. I want you to seriously, maturely consider all that God gave you, all that you're responsible for with your time that you have, 24/7. We all have that as long as we're still living. Craig's dad got 96 times 365 times 24. That's how many hours he's had. Well, we may not have that many hours, but we all have the same 24/7 as long as we have breath in our body. So consider what you're going to do with your time, the talent that God gave you in the various ways that you express it, and also the treasure, the financial wherewithal that you have as an individual, no matter who you are. You consider that. And Craig, I want you to help them understand that what we're going to do with anything that they put our way, how they can give through us but not to us, because we are still going to maintain, because I didn't hear anything, I didn't get any email from you and Eric that you guys want to raise. You know, we could multiply it if you want, but it's going to be the same amount until such time the Lord changes that situation for us. But let the folks know, Craig, how they can really participate in giving to this ministry specifically without taking away from where they are responsible for growing their most holy faith if they have a fellowship or a church that they go to.
I will shamelessly, I will unapologetically,
thank you. Thank you.
Unapologetically appeal to the folks. I mean, here we are at the end of the year, and frankly, I think about tax time, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad I have the privilege of investing in the gospel, and I pray that's my reason for doing it, but it doesn't hurt that I get a tax write-off.
Hello.
I'll pay every penny I legitimately owe, but when I can save, and because I can deduct nonprofit deductions like to our ministry, then you bet I'm going to do it, and I'm going to plug it. I'm thinking of that as an opportunity to, and most importantly, invest in the kingdom of God. God doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. He uses our time, talent, and treasure, the big three, time, talent, and treasure. And we have the opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. And I'm thinking a lot about that, Daryl, because not this next, well, of course, today, Monday, but actually next Monday, yes, not this Monday, but next Monday, I'm leaving on the 1st to go to Cambodia.
Mm.
And I'll be taking students and others with me. And as we look at human trafficking and how we can help deal with that issue, horrific sin of human trafficking, even of little boys and girls for the sex so-called trade or industry, or I would just call it slavery, I'll use that word, and various forms of labor that in brickyards and other places that are basically literally slavery, or at least minimally indentured servitude, where people are literally captive to those systems. And it's a chance for the proclamation of the gospel, of training people who are future attorneys to help make a difference, not just talk about dealing with human trafficking, but literally put a dent in it. And been dealing with a number of people over the years, but over the last couple of weeks in particular, as I line up our schedule of people who are doing just that. And I'm excited about that, Daryl. But that, all this is possible, if you will, because of people who stand with us faithfully, who stand with us prayerfully and financially. I just had Brother Hmong. He was here with us in California and through other parts of the United States. And we are attempting to raise more support and awareness of the training of trainers, of training pastors, Christian leaders, Bible translators and missionaries, of paying for their training, paying for their room and board, their lodging, and all that for free to them, of course. But someone's got to pay, if you will, as the saying goes, the water's free, but someone's got to put the plumbing in to get it to you. And so, Daryl, these are I would argue, are privileges, are opportunities,
yes.
Incredible opportunities to invest in the kingdom of God. Yeah, we don't take a salary. We're not occupying ministries where people do, but we don't take a salary. We don't have a building overhead. Our really only overhead is the radio program expenses, the website, the webmaster, to keep that updated, and indeed adding to the website. And for example, materials that we give to people for free, and as well the training of trainers and the type of things of being able to go to Cambodia, I do in conjunction with the law school where I teach, and other things that we do. It's all possible. I'm getting long-winded again, I know, Daryl, but it's possible because people stand with us prayerfully and financially, and that's what it's about. You know, I would ask people to open their hearts and open their pocketbook and donate. Again, you're not giving to us. We don't take a salary. That's not where it goes. The money goes to what we say it does, which is to train pastors, Christian leaders, missionaries, Bible translators to help make a difference. Again, dealing with even the issue of human trafficking and how really only the gospel sets people free. The gospel is the answer to ending human trafficking and the sex slave industry. For example, in Cambodia and Thailand, indeed the World Center, you could argue it was Saipak in Cambodia, but it's probably in another city, actually has been for a while, in Thailand. And if we want to make a difference, and this stuff comes to America and elsewhere, it's not just there, but we can make a difference. People can do that standing with us prayerfully and financially. And the good news is, Daryl, you're here to tell us how we can do that.
And it's my pleasure to do so, PCH. I'm thrilled. Let me tell you one thing. I am so thrilled at all my Zelle people. You charge my heart by the mere fact that you consider giving to our ministry and to keep us going. But when you do it by the method that Uncle Easy suggests, it just does my heart. Craig, I don't know why I get excited about stuff like that, but I think that since I'm a penny counter, not stingy or anything like that, but you know, I'm going to be a pretty generous guy for most people. And I love to give the folks, but I don't love the waste. I cannot stand wasting. I guess because of my much travels, I've seen too much waste, PCH. So those of you that are giving by Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E, please continue that. And if you know anybody giving any other ways to this ministry or any other ministries, consider telling them that they can give by Zelle if they can. And that way those fees are being saved. They'll have more money and more funds to give to the various ministries they want to. So thank you, thank you, thank you for you Zelle givers. And I'm not taking away from the fact that the other folks give by the other ministries we have as well. But I just have a special thing in my heart for no fees, PCH. I think you know how I roll like that. But anyway, folks, that's one way to give. That's the preferred way I suggest. But if you're not able to do so and you want to mail anything in, whether you're going to have your bank mail it in because you're going to give them instructions to do so, or you're going to mail it in yourself, whatever negotiable instrument you choose to use, don't send cash, please. We appreciate that. But whatever negotiable instrument you're going to use, check, money order, cashier's check, what have you, make sure that on the envelope and the check can say the same thing. Make sure it says Live by Word or Living by the Word or LBTW, something along that line, so that the post office will make sure it goes to our post box office and they won't send it back to you or get lost out there in postland, the postal sphere, I should say. So make sure it says LBTW or Living by the Word, and then you can mail it to P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Again, LBTW is fine, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles at 90009. For those of you that are actually on the internet right now, please take an opportunity and listen. There's folks out there that the amount is between you and the Lord. Yes, we'll see it. But the reason why I'm saying the amount is it kind of shows where your heart is in regards to various ministries and how you want to perpetuate the kingdom of God. So those of you that have some serious money, we say back in the day, serious ducats, and it's not going to phase you one way or the other to give thousands of dollars, then please take an opportunity to be generous no matter what state you're at, no matter what financial state you're in. Be generous to the Lord's kingdom, and you watch how the Lord take care of things. I'm not promising you anything how he's going to do it, but you just trusting God and being generous to his perpetuation of the kingdom that he got set up for all of us, then you that's between you and God, and you guys, that'll work out for you just well. I promise you it'll work out for you well. How? I don't know. But I promise you it'll work out for you well. So.
I'm sorry, before you go on, mm-hmm. Can I jump in?
Yes, sir.
You mentioned the internet. I need to apologize to you. Yep, one of those times.
Craig, hold on. Craig, are you listening?
Here he goes. No, I had told you that Facebook is live earlier, right. And it was.
Yes.
It was just broadcasting to the wrong page. So it's fixed now. We're broadcasting to the Bible Information Brokers page. So anyone that was attempting to listen or watch on Facebook, we are back up.
You know, they didn't see my lovely outfit and certainly didn't see yours, but okay. Well, thank you very much, Eric.
You're welcome.
So I'll get back to that giving thing. And since Eric said that, we're going to deduct. No, you know what, Craig? We're a forgiving ministry. We're going to raise his thing another five times, okay? So that way he has to give five times much more than what he already gives to the ministries. I love Eric. But anyway, folks, there you go. The P.O. Box 90477, Los Angeles 90009. If you're going to go to our website, Bible Info Brokers, you click the icon support and donate, and you'll be able to follow those simple instructions and give that way as well. And I just want to tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you that have been listening to us for a short time or a long time, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for supporting this ministry. We all sincerely appreciate the opportunity to come to you week in and week out, but we only can come to you as you support the cause. And on behalf of the whole team, we thank you. Did I say that pretty halfway good, Craig?
Yes, you did say that well.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You know, I need, when I get a little, I find when I get a little, I'm getting a little sensitive to compliments, you know, since I'm missing short putts. But anyway, that's another story. Ladies and gentlemen, call Eric right now. Since he got the Facebook working, I'll be able to see who's on there. Don't forget to share, hit that share button on Facebook. But if you want to call him right now, I see Lamech is calling in, so we'll deal with that in a little bit. But the telephone number is 888-995-5552, 888-995-KKLA, the easy way to remember it. Like I said, the numbers are 888-995-5552. All the other formats that are up and running now, Truth Social, Facebook, Messenger, and Twitter, and we're going to have some other ones coming up for next year. As I'm learning this stuff, Craig, I'm learning it well, too. It's going to be exciting next year as far as all the social media stuff we're going to have up and going. But the same address, and prayerfully I can get the same address for all the things we do and make it seamless, is Bible Info Brokers. Simply Bible Info Brokers. Brian started that, very intelligent on his part, to start something like that to get the same address for everything across the board. So Bible Info Brokers for the social media and for the email address. We might even change that eventually, but right now you can just send it to liveByWord@AOL.com. liveByWord@AOL.com for the email questions. And I thank you for that. Okay, PCH, let's see now. How are we looking here? Why don't we do this? I'm going to take Lamech's call, PCH, and then I'm going to, as other people call in or send their questions in, because I definitely want to get into the gospel message, man, because I'm telling you, today, Pastor Cooper was doing his thing in regards to just, you know, the so-called, that you see on TV so much, the John 3:16 message. But again, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, when the last time you teared up, and it's not like uncontrollable weeping, but when you teared up in church for something that was said that moved you, I'm very interested in what moved you. But what moved me was the idea how God just so loved the world and the state that we're in, how we are and how we love people in there and the way we love. It's not even in the same universe, Craig, the way God loved us and did what he did for us. And we're going to talk about that either on this side or on the other side of the break. It's so super important that if that's all we talk about for the rest of the broadcast, that is important enough to talk about. But right now, let's go to Los Angeles and bring up Lamech. Lamech, thanks for holding on and calling in. Lamech, I need you to turn off that radio, though, for me. I appreciate that.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What's your question for the night?
Yeah, my question is specifically for because I want to find out because I don't believe the three was the three or two the wise guys.
I'm sorry, Craig. Did he say the wise guys?
Hey, you know, because you know, okay. The reason I'm interested in this is because, especially. Israel represented too much selling plastic items, you know.
Okay, let's do this.
By
let's,
the time,
let me get you to do this. Tell me what your question is in regards to the specific thing you're dealing with. I don't need to hear the history of it right now, but I do want to get to the specific question you have about if it's the wise men, wise guys, whatever you want to call them, or that thing that's troubling you. What is that question that troubles you?
Well, the question specifically is they present three offerings to baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
According to what I read, is Mary was there. No, it's not talking about Joseph or Joseph. I don't know. So he now was, I don't know, he was present there by the time when these guys show up. But my question is specifically about the present. Jesus never accepted or accepted because I don't know how old Jesus was by that time when these guys showed up, because I know what the three items, the three gifts they offer to Jesus. I know what these dreams represent.
Okay, Lamech. I need you to. Here's what I need you to do for me, because we only have about 3 minutes left to the top of the hour. Yeah. I want to get your question in there. Are you asking the question about was Joseph there? How old was Jesus? What is specifically your question, sir?
My question is, they give the presents, right?
Okay.
But my question is, if Jesus, if Mary, if Joseph accepted from them, because examples, if you bring me a gift to me, if I have a knowledge, good knowledge, what represent that gift is my decision if I accept it or not accept.
So your question, if I'm not mistaken, Craig, I want to get right to it. Did Jesus and or his parents accept the gifts from the three, what they call the three wise men, but it wasn't necessarily three, right, but it was the three gifts. So let's get into that. We're going to deal with that.
Thanks, Lamech. Always good to hear from you, brother. And we wish you the best, and not only happy new year, but a Merry Christmas and a relationship with Christ, which we know is really important to you. So a couple of things here. The assumption is that they did receive it, gold, myrrh, and frankincense. But by the way, it doesn't necessarily mean that was an exhaustive list. I would argue those three items are really just simply some of the items that they brought. Probably there were others as well, but three, and certainly three of the most valuable are mentioned, because it shows, I would argue, the sincerity and the sacrifice on their part. As far as we know, they did accept them. Number two, your point was very well taken, Daryl. We often think they were just, well, that's three wise men. No, it's only three gifts, and even that's not an exhaustive list. It doesn't say there's only three. We know the Magi were educated individuals, and we could talk more about them if we had time. But I would argue Joseph was there. We have every reason to believe he was there. And by the way, we often think it was done right after Christ was born, within a couple of days. But it could indeed, from the context, be as long as 2 years later it took him to get to where he was. And in that area, that they didn't immediately move out of that area they were at when Jesus was born. So I would argue they accepted the gift. Why? Because it tells us they came to worship him. But these men wanted to worship Jesus. So I would argue it was genuine worship. They received it, unlike Herod, who indeed, as the antithesis, wanted to kill Christ. And these gifts were a token, were indicative of their genuine worship of the true newborn king, Jesus Christ.
Okay, Lamech, I apologize. We lost both of you guys for a hot second there, so we really appreciate your question. And we have about 20 more seconds, so we're going to go to the top of the hour break, PCH, and on the other side, we're going to get back and deal with this, the baby Jesus and the grown-up Jesus, as it were, and how important it is that we understand the connection of Jesus Christ and the whole world that he created. So you hear that music in the background, folks? That means we're going to take a break. Call Eric right now. Get him busy, please. Don't give him a break for this last show before Christmas. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552. Or Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, Messenger, Tweet, or our Truth Social. LiveByWord@AOL.com for the email questions. Send it to us right now. We'll receive them and be back after these messages. Ladies and gentlemen, happy pre-Christmas to you for those of you that are on the West Coast, and Merry Christmas to those of you that may on other parts of the world, and especially in the United States. Merry Christmas, and for us on the West Coast here, we have about another hour to go. So, ladies, you listen to a live presentation. Gentlemen, you listen to a live presentation of the Bible Information Brokers. My name is Daryl E.Z.D. Fulton, one of the teammates, along with Eric Stanton, taking your phone calls and producing this show, Facebook and all, and Professor Craig Hawkins, who's a little bit cold, no snow, but in a different time zone. So he's celebrating Christmas right along with us as we may I get a few seconds together with that. So before we get back to questions, whereby you can call in right now, Eric has some open lines. So take advantage of that. We're going to give some important information that you want to very, very much want to pay close attention to. For those of you going to call in, please take an opportunity to do so right now at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. The reason why we get those questions queued up, and that way when we leave from what we're going to talk to you about momentarily, then we can get right into your questions. Also, those that's going to send questions by way of email, simply send it to livebyword@aol.com. That email address, livebyword@aol.com. All the other formats on social media, that's Facebook, Twitter, Messenger, or even Truth Social, you can go to Bible Info Brokers and use that as the address and send your question into those other platforms that way. So there you have it. And we're going to deal with a couple of Facebook questions that we have, at least one I see there, after we do this. And this I'm talking about, PCH, is the thing that kind of made me tear up. Not made me tear up. It actually brought tears to my eyes today in church. It's one of those moments whereby I know why I'm crying, because I feel the deep appreciation, PCH, if I can use that word. I have great gratitude for God even considering me to be saved. And it's nothing because I'm worthy of any kind of way. And when you think about how rotten you are as an individual, as I know how rotten I am, PCH, you know, Paul talked about himself being the chiefest among sinners. I didn't know Paul, but I know Daryl Fulton. I know Easy D, and I know how rotten he is by himself in the core. That doesn't mean I killed anybody. That doesn't mean I did any kind of horrific stuff. But compared to who I should be comparing myself to, and the whole perfection aspect of life, of which I am not, you know, even my little golf game, the Fulton 54 thing we're going to be dealing with next year, proves how imperfect I am. Or if you don't believe me in my golf game, just ask anybody in my family. They'll tell you how imperfect I am. But you know what? Enough about me, PCH. I teared up because of John 3:16 and got God so loved the world, which I'm part of that, that he gave his only begotten son so that I might be saved. Can you let the folks know how they can join the family?
Well, indeed, Daryl, and a lot of the places I go, as I mentioned, I would be over in Asia, Southeast Asia, next Monday, or on my way, at least, I should say. Mm-hmm. Tribalism is very big, knowing what tribe one came from, and there's a lot of pride or shame, whether you come from a very respectable or not so respectable tribe or caste system, mm-hmm. Often put on top of that, at least with Hinduism. But we would argue there's only one family that matters, one tribe, and that's God's, those who belong to Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. You know, Christmas, people are often willing to tolerate the cute little baby in the manger, and actually even barely that. They didn't want to have that in public displays. But cute little Jesus doesn't really offend anybody. But Jesus grew up, and of course Jesus claimed to be God, the Son of God, God the Son. And he had some pretty serious things to say, and he rebuked people for their sin and called them to repentance. And we're not so big on that. I don't mind cute little Jesus in the manger, but when he grows up to be a full-grown man and starts telling me what to do and what life's all about, well, I take exception to that. I take umbrage to that. But if you're wise, you'll listen to that. You'll listen to what he has to say. What does the Bible say quickly, Daryl, about Jesus? Indeed, Isaiah, in a prophecy about Jesus, talks about him in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you will call him, and will call him Emmanuel. By the way, that means God with us. Doesn't necessarily mean his name is literally Emmanuel, as many people are named, but that his title is Emmanuel, God with us. And it talks about him. What an incredible passage. That's Isaiah 7:14. And Isaiah 9:6, just two chapters over, starting verse 6 through verse 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time, that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish that. Wow, that's a, those are quite some titles, quite some lists of things, Daryl, that he's going to do and to accomplish. Just two more passages and then to bring this to a conclusion. I think of Daniel 7:13, another incredible passage, talking about the Ancient of Days. He says in verses 13 and 14 of Daniel 7, "In my vision at night I looked, and before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every tongue, language, worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." I want to come to, back to that in just a moment, but one last passage for now, Daryl. Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times," or literally from the days of eternity, literally from everlasting to everlasting, from eon to eon, from age to age. Christ has always been. He became human 6 to 4 B.C., but he was always existed as the second person of the Holy Trinity. And he's no cute little baby in a manger, but he demands allegiance. He demands repentance. As we repent, turn away and turn towards him, turn away from our sin, that is, and turn towards him, he calls us to repentance. He calls us to receive the free gift that only he can give of eternal life, and that is his glory, his majesty, his honor, and his prerogative, because he is the potentate. He is, in Greek, the pantocrator, the all-powerful. He alone has the right to demand allegiance, to demand worship. I mean, that sounds so crazy. I mean, because we have humans who, like Pol Pot and even the I'll be nice tonight, the guy in North Korea, you know, and many, many others want to be worshipped figuratively or literally, yet Christ is the only one who deserves that worship. He's the only one who has a right to call us to repentance and to holiness and to ask for forgiveness of our sins, to confess that we're imperfect. Like you said, Daryl, doesn't mean you're a serial killer, doesn't mean you torture dogs, but it means we're imperfect. We think we're okay. How deep does our sin go? We think we're all right. We think God should be glad he has us. We think God's got a catch, that God's is privileged to know us and let us into his kingdom, when it's the exact opposite, that the privilege is ours and the honor is ours to be forgiven and to have fellowship with God, not pie in the sky by and by, but right now, starting at least right now, I should say, not that it's not later, but it is, begins now, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, trusting in him and him alone for salvation. And Daryl, that's the beauty, that's the glory of Christmas, that's the splendor, Christmas, Christ sent. And he has come to be our Redeemer, to forgive our sins, but we must repent of our sins and turn towards him and ask for forgiveness, to receive the forgiveness that only he can give, and that he freely gives, and that he fully gives, and that he abundantly pardons, as another scripture says, that he delights, as it says in the last chapter of Micah, he delights to show mercy. That's the God we're dealing with, not a cute little baby anymore, but the full-grown Son of Man, Son of God, Jesus Christ. Trust in him, believe on him. Life, meaning, significance, purpose, identity, all the things that people are looking for, all the things that truly matter, that make us human and make us fully human, and indeed keep us from a Christless eternity, are found only in Jesus Christ. Receive him, worship him, trust in him as your personal Lord and Savior, and know that he and he alone gives you eternal life, life, and that more abundantly, life that is truly life.
Because the life, PCA, that you're talking about is too long to be wrong about it.
Amen.
It's just that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, I see that Eric has a full bank of open calls, so I'm not going to give you the number just yet. I'm going to invite Eric to come on air with us, and let's deal with a Facebook question that is I found quite interesting.
Thank you, Daryl. First of all, are you trying to imply that I'm not doing my job over here?
No, I think you're doing your job so efficiently that people don't dare call in with some crazy
clean
stuff.
That up. Thank you for cleaning that up, brother. Okay, Facebook question from Kevin, and it comes from Luke 2:14. And actually, let me read Luke 2:14 first. I'm reading from the NIV. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now, Kevin's question is, why do several translations omit on whom his favor rests? What is correct? It seems a huge difference and changes the meaning greatly. And I actually did check the NIV and the New King James and King James, mm-hmm. and also the Common English, and it's omitted in all three of those. But the NIV has it. So what do you say about that, gentlemen?
Okay, the passage one more time and the issue, because you could read the verse again for those
sure.
who are trying to understand what we're talking about.
Sure. It's Luke 2:14, and it says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And Kevin's question is, why is on whom his favor rests omitted in some translations, or it seems like in most of the translations?
Well, yeah, it's not omitted in the. I have the NIV open in front of me.
That's the one he's in.
Yeah, that's the one I was reading from.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't have my Greek New Testament with me because again, I'm on the road right now. I'm not at home. But let me to look it up. But let me just say this: this is questions come up numerous times before. It's a great question. Why? Because there's a debate. What does the Greek text actually say? And so let me weigh in on that. So the idea is it saying, well, on whom his favor rests or whom has found favor with God? What is the meaning of that? Does that mean that God is gracious and shows favor? Not that we deserve it, but that he grants favor or mercy. I mentioned, I should just now quote it because it really comes into play here. In Micah 7:18, it says that we can trust in God because he delights to show mercy. So the issue is, does he owe us mercy? Mm. Or does he grant us mercy? Not that we deserve it, but he graciously bestows it upon us. And the answer is, he graciously bestows mercy upon us. He delights to do that. So it's not that we have favor because we're in sin. So let me make this distinction, Eric, and this is why the Greek text is not saying, and I mentioned the Greek text because this is written originally in Greek, not in English. So we're going to cut past the English translations and see which ones do we think best translates the meaning of this passage. It's not that we have favor with God because we're good, because we deserve favor, what have you. It's because God simply grants us and shows us favor. So on whom his favor rests is not because, one more time, he owes us favor. We have deserved or merit favor. But he simply grants us favor because he is good and gracious. That is, to be more precise, we don't deserve it, but he grants it because he is good.
Now, Professor, I completely agree with you on that. The other versions, they don't say that at all. What they usually say is just peace among men or peace among men.
So, right. Right, and they take it out because of the confusion, because many people then have assumed wrongly that, oh, I deserve God's favor. That's why his favor rests on us, because we're good. And so there are whole groups of people who think humans are basically good and claim that that's the Christian view, and it's not. I wish it was true, but it's not. Why do we have jails? Why do we have police departments? Why do we have all these other things? Because some of your neighbors would kill you if they could get away with it. They certainly would rob you blind and what have you. So that's why they because you're trying to get to the words, but the words in context. It'd be like if I said, that guy left an impression on me, and someone was looking for some indentation on me, right? Well, I don't see the impression. You look normal to me, right? They're missing the meaning. So even though I literally used the word impression or the words left an impression, the meaning of that is not literally there's some type of indentation on my body from that person, but that means they impacted me, they influenced me. I'll use the word into the big word today, an influencer, if you will. So we're trying to get to the meaning of the text, and so therefore we translate it as to what it is saying, what it means, and not just the words. Let me give one more example of this. The word astrology in Hebrew literally means to divide the heavens. Why? Because divide the heavens means what? Like, can you literally divide the heavens? No, but it means you're taking segments of it. And then here, think of, I'm not espousing it, I'm just describing it, astrology, right? You divide it into the so-called 12 houses, the zodiac signs or symbols. Again, that's occultism. The Bible forbids that. It condemns that. I'm not condoning it, therefore, but I'm using it as an illustration. That's what, that is, in quotes, dividing the heavens. But if someone says, no, it just says he's dividing the heavens. Well, what does that mean? It means to form the so-called 12 houses to be able to practice astrology. That's the meaning of the word, not just the word itself. So I hope those are analogies that help people get to why some of the texts and say it the way they do, and they leave out the part about on whom God's favor rests, because it sounds like, to those who are not hearing it correctly, that his favor rests on them because they are worthy, they deserve favor, and that's not the case. God simply shows favor on those who are unworthy of it.
Ephesians 2 talk about that unworthiness, huh? Right in line with our salvation, we talked about how no one can boast because no one is worthy of it at all, if I can use that word. Okay, well, Eric, I appreciate that, my brother, and you still don't have any work to do, so let me try to influence, if I could. Craig, you were talking about influencers. I have quite a few influencers in that game that I'm caring about a lot, where they have millions and millions of people on the influencer. And it's going to lead me into what we were talking about at the beginning of the show when I asked you to say what was on your mind and heart. But that number, you can call Eric right now to get him busy so he won't be, telling me I didn't get all the questions asked and answered. I talked too long, so I'm not going to talk too long other than give you this number, 888-995-5552, 888-995-KKLA. Call Eric right now. He's ready to receive your phone call. Give him a Christmas present. Let him hear your voice. Give him that question, 888-995-5552 is the number, 888-995-5552. And we'll check the other medias also, like Facebook, Truth Social, Messenger, Twitter. All those addresses are the same address, Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers for the social media side. If you're going to send us an email, do that to livebyword@aol.com, livebyword@aol.com. And thank you, folks, for utilizing these various medias that we have here. And we're going to get into one of my special medias that you use, which is Zelle, but we're going to talk about that a little bit time later. PCH. Let's get back to what you were talking about earlier about these atheists. And do you remember that atheist station that you would listen to coming from Arizona?
Oh, I do.
You don't want to say it, though, right?
Well, I can. I mean,
please say it. I mean, the reason why I'm saying say it is because unless you, I don't think you're afraid that people are going to listen to it in some kind of way to lose their faith. But people need to kind of. What's the word I'm looking for? They need to kind of start growing up and step up the game and, get out of this, the idea about you've been a Christian for so many years and you got to start dealing with some of these tough issues that are all around us, man, because God can use you, put yourself out there, make yourself available. So please, by all means, give the station.
106.1.
And that's in the Phoenix area?
What's that?
That's in the Phoenix area?
Yeah, and it's particularly as you're coming into Phoenix from California on the 10 or going out. It's right at the very southern end, I found it, the southern end of the metropolitan area of Phoenix proper, and coming out the 10 going towards Goodyear and the Goodyear and the other cities in that part, and particularly going out the 10, it goes for so long. Before it fades out, and at least as far The problem I've had is they're not giving the call letters, and they're supposed to at the top and the hour minimally. Legally, they have to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't quite catch it at that time. I'm not at that time when I'm traveling through there. But they, I was trying to get the call letters and whatnot. But again, the 2-3 times now I've heard it, I think it's actually a station out of Flagstaff. That's my edumacated guess. But the point is, even though that's north of Phoenix, as I understand it. But my point is, I've heard it. Believe me, I've heard plenty of it by now to know it is radically, not just against religion, which I might be saying that I'm against religion, because religion is what humans have to say about God. Christianity is what God has to say about humanity. But in particular, it definitely bags on Christianity. Yeah, 106.1 in the metropolitan area of Phoenix.
Very good, very good. Appreciate that. Now, PCH, the reason why, like I said, you, I don't know if you ever saw, have you seen any sign on the freeway that says something that I saw? I've seen a couple of them before where it says Atheists United. Atheists United. And if you do, you know about that particular group.
Well, sure. There's a number of them, and they are dedicated to advancing the views and causes of atheism. I have to admit, I'm sorry, I find it humorous. If I didn't believe in Harvey the Rabbit, and I don't, I wouldn't spend any time trying to refute the view in Harvey the Rabbit or Santa Claus or Easter Bunny or whomever. I mean, but these people, to me, it's the line of there is no God and I hate him. I mean, these people are on a quest to me. I would argue, sorry, just for a second here, Daryl, this incessant need on their part to eradicate any belief in God and show them the world how smart and intelligent they are, and only a knucklehead believes in God. And so they spend their whole lives in this quest, this holy grail quest, in my opinion, to prove there is no God and, again, to demonstrate how intelligent they are. I think about people like Christopher Hitchens and others who just, to me, are obsessed with their passion to show that God doesn't exist. And I find that psychologically very interesting.
It is. I mean, if you like you said, if you don't believe something exists, what's the argument? I mean, why are you trying to convince somebody else that believes it? Because they're a knucklehead or something like that? That's what you believe? I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
That, among other things. But, wow.
Well, sure, let me just do this one, Daryl, and I'll probably offend some people, but
what? It
won't be the first time, it won't be the last. I don't believe in the abominable snowman either, but I'm not spending any time trying to disprove him. I'm like, I don't care. I don't believe there's evidence for that thing, or whatever you would call he, she, it. Maybe it's transgender, so I can't use any of those categories.
You know what? You're about to be a good segue into what I wanted to talk about.
But, you know, Daryl, I couldn't care less. Therefore, I don't spend any time really dealing with it other than what I just said. Done.
All right. Well, look, I was going to go the Ephesians 4:13 thing and deal with the unity of the body of Christ. But here's a thing that may be a little dicey. Like I said, we only have probably about 30 minutes left on the broadcast. I definitely want to get this out, if not this week while we have a chance. And, you know, next week we'll see what happens. But, you know, this can you give a short definition, Craig, of this identity politics or identity anything in a general sense? What does it mean? I want to make sure that my question is on point.
Okay. So since I just got done grading finals.
Folks, now, tell them what you graded finals for. This is your legal guys, right?
Yes, and okay. Gals.
And I'm sorry. My pronoun is that I asked to be called Fulton 54. So what is that?
Well, there you go.
That's my preferred pronoun all throughout the USC medical group.
You can identify with that.
That's right.
Ironically, we didn't set this up. I didn't know you were going to ask.
That's right.
I didn't know. One of my questions on one of my finals was dealing with what's called social constructivism or constructivism, but also identity politics. Now, people should think it's just political. It's been applied to political views, but it applies to epistemology. epistemology to science. Identity simply says basically what is true or what is right or good, any of those big three, what's true, right, or good, is based upon one's identity. That is one group that you identify with, and that would be based on your age, for example, gender, sexual preference, religious views, or non-religious, for that matter. And so all the things that we identify with, again, what's my ethnicity or race? Now, you and I would say there's only one race, so we would use the word ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so what matters is age. So whatever advances my cause, what is good for my group, all those categories of sexual preference, gender, and all that stuff, that's my identity and that's what's true. So in other words, what is true, right, or good for one group is not at all true or right or good for another group. So if I claim to be, for example, I'm not, but let's say I say I'm a bisexual Asian female, and then I would say, unquote, female, unquote, or we could, you know, mix that up. But the point is, whatever benefits that group is good or right or just or true. But let's say if I'm well, they'd say a white male, well, that's something else. So your truth is not my truth. So that's where the phrase comes. That's your truth because it's based on your identity. And don't confuse the term identity politics that it's only political. I deal with what's called identity jurisprudence, the philosophy of law. The law, what is right, good, or just, or true, what is a good law or a right law or what have you, is merely just based on identity. Let me say this last thing, and I know it's not really your point, but it's a peeve with me. It's not just saying that some things are based on identity, because of course they are. Some things I value are based on certain identities that I have. I don't see that as a bad thing. It's just a fact. Just like some things are socially constructed. Daryl, we stop on green light. Excuse me. We stop on red lights, I hope.
No comment.
And we go on green, and we prepare to stop or slow down on yellow. Daryl, there's no universal law of moral truth that we have to stop on red.
Right.
We could stop on green. We could go with green and purple polka dots. I mean, it doesn't matter. But they're constructed. But social constructivism isn't saying that some things are constructed. That's obvious. That's true. And there are some things that are a form of identity politics. But this is saying that our deepest longings, desires, our deepest aspirations and views are all only, just, merely, solely socially constructed or based upon our identity. So truth for me is only because of my given identity, and those things are contingent. Those things are happenstance. That's the power, I would argue in the bad sense, that is the view behind identity politics and social constructivism, as the two are different but come together, is that my views are just merely only solely true for my group. Therefore, why would you fight and die for them? After all, it's only true for you and not true for me. There you go.
Now, I'm glad you said all that, because I may be totally off base, but it came to my brain a couple of weeks ago about Christ made a statement, and I won't give the address just yet, but he made a statement, depart from me, I never knew you. And then he said some other things along connected to that. I have a question. Is there a thing that's futuristic or even going on now that is like identity Christianity, identity religion, or something like that, that is along the same definition that you just gave, identity politics, which is not just politics by itself?
Well, sure, Daryl. And you're keeping it real here.
Oh, well, I told you I'm a little dicey. Well, you know, I'm
well,
not used to like
okay.
this.
Because there are now people who don't know, who can't see us. I'm white. And you're a person of color.
Yes.
And some I'm just using that. My point is, some would say, well, of course Hawkins says that because he's white. He's not a person of color. And those are just his views. And even he imports that, he sneaks that in a bad sense into Christianity. And he doesn't realize that his Jesus is a white Jesus. This is a white man's religion. And so there would be an example. Now, I don't agree with that at all. I think you and I are in complete agreement. Well, of course, you would be considered a sellout. You're an Uncle Tom, the older term.
And that's not a bad thing, is it? never mind. We don't have to go. We don't get sidetracked. We don't want to get sidetracked. Go ahead.
But some would say that even our view of Christianity is only one form, and it's because it's based upon our identity. And for me, they would say, well, Hawkins is a white male, so right. There's the patriarchal pig who is a white, and so it's only white men rule type nonsense. Yeah, there you go.
Now, okay, now you don't have to go here if you don't want to, because we're going to get Tasha, we're going to get your call, and from L.A., we're dealing with some stuff that I just want to ask this question. Craig, do you remember the comment I made to you right after we found out that that Daniel was murdered about this area about – now you watch. And I said to people the same thing I said about the Gulf thing with the Saudi Arabia stuff, with the Greg Normans and the Liv and all that stuff. I said something similar to you, and if you remember it, you let me know if you do or not. When I said to you, Craig, you know what's going to be sad for me is that – when I talk to people about this tragic situation that happened to you, they're not going to know nothing about it because your white son was killed, murdered by a person of color. Let me just put it that way. And I'll say it like that. Remember what I said to you? And because I kind of know you already, I believe that you're going to deal with that and you're going to be fine with that yourself. But remember I said that to me, that's going to be the shame of all this stuff that went down with Daniel and his friends. And even though a couple of his friends was a person of color.
Well, you know, let me just say this quickly. Now, again, I didn't ask you to bring this up.
I know, and I apologize if you don't want to talk about it.
No. I do remember that, and you know, I'm positive my son's with the Lord, and his two other friends that were murdered, and I'm fine with that, Daryl. But let me just say this. But you're absolutely right. So my family had received or saw text or emails that said, well, basically your son deserved it because he's a white boy, and he had it coming to him. And it's a good thing I didn't have those people within my reach. Mm-hmm. But
I'm glad of that too.
I definitely heard and seen it. You know that he deserved it. He was a white boy, white privilege, and he got what was coming to him. I've heard that, of course. But let me finish. People got some weird views, and you're entitled to your views. You should probably keep these to yourself. But at any rate, but here's the thing: as you pointed out, one of the boys was Hispanic.
Yep.
He's okay. So does that now would it be for at least brown people? Would it be wrong now? It wasn't wrong to kill my son, but now that a Hispanic boy was killed. Now okay, that'd be. But another one is a person of color is black and is. Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
So now would it be now and only now is it wrong?
You let your child hang out with those kind of people? I'm sorry, let me stop. I'm sorry. I just said that for real.
Right. But you see the challenge? So it moves from it was okay because he was white, but then when I bring in the one boy being Hispanic, or at least, partially he was, white and Hispanic, and the other young man who did live, but it almost was killed, mm-hmm. is Puerto Rican and is black. So now is it only wrong now because they're people of color, but if it was just a white boy, it'd be okay? And I would say that's damnable, and I'm not cussing. Right. I mean, that view is damnable, just as if it would be if I said it was okay if a person of color was killed, but once a white person's killed, now it's wrong. Mm. Just it'd be as damnable and stupid and moronic to say that as it would be to say the other. I would say it works both ways. No, people, period, as human beings are made in the image of God, have incredible value and inherent value, and none of them are to be murdered, period, irrespective of their ethnicity or their race or whatever other signpost we want to use to try to mark them or demarcate someone. There you go, dear. That's
well, I appreciate that, and I'm not going to stretch it out except to say one more thing, and we talked about this years ago. I remember when I was in the academy and I learned about the Twinkie defense. I learned about the concept behind that. I learned about the idea of consenting sexual adults, trying to make that like it's not wrong when you're consensual sexual, taking away, basically eliminating the no-fault divorce type thing. That's all kind of stuff that we do as legislation, and reason why I'm saying it is because the people, listen, let me put it this way. The people that we, and I'm including everybody that has a vote,
the people that we put in office and allow this stuff to go on and don't do anything about it as individuals and then collectively get together and do something about it, we're getting what we deserve, bro. And that's why I'm wondering, when Jesus made his declaration in Matthew 7:23, where he said, hey, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And this is the lawlessness that, that happens, Craig, when you have this identity, anything.
Yeah, I'm with you, Daryl.
Well, and those political statements, send me all your emails. Don't even waste professor's time. I brought it up. Send them to me. LiveByWord@AOL.com. LiveByWord@AOL.com. I would give you my personal one, but you know, some knuckleheads might actually send me some stuff, and I have to, you know, respond nicely and with gentleness and respect with my apologetics. Anything else, PCA, before I bring Ms. Tasha up?
Well, no, I want to say, because given the time, Daryl, just quickly, I want to remind people that we are a faith support
broadcast.
Oh, yeah,
thank you.
That we exist because people stand with us prayerfully and financially, and we're not grandstanding. It's truly our view. We value the most your prayers, because God can always raise up somebody or a person mm-hmm. or a number to give funds, but we need prayer warriors, prayer partners for what we do, because we believe it's ultimately spiritual. It's not just political or ethical or what religious or what have you. And we're coming up at the end of the year. I want to remind you, the tax man cometh. you're going to be
paying taxes. How much without giveth? How much without giveth?
I don't mind saying, Daryl, this is my last week. I'm going to be doubling up on my donations.
That's it, baby.
And ministries I believe in, because this is the time to do it. Because not primarily because of the tax write-off, but it certainly is in my mind, but because I believe in ministries and I believe they should be supported. I believe that their ministry is doing incredible work, and we, the body of Christ, we as individual believers need to stand with them prayerfully and financially. And we're asking people if they believe in what we do, such as, again, not this Monday, I'm already there where I am, but next Monday I'll be on my way to Cambodia and probably Thailand as well.
Yeah.
And then hopefully a few more months later, I'll be returning to India and Nepal and training pastors, missionaries, Christian leaders, Bible translators, dealing with human rights issues, since I teach at a law school as well and deal with human rights and human trafficking, dealing with the trafficking of little boys and little girls, for example, not just but certainly in Thailand and Cambodia, but into from Australia to America to you got going on from Nepal down into India and so on and so on and so forth. These are things that need to be addressed and need to be dealt with. And I have the privilege, by the grace of God, we have the privilege of this program and what we deal with. But we can't do it all. We're a team. We do it together.
Yes.
It's like someone may do surgery, but we got to supply the Band-Aids and the medical supplies, all the equipment, to sterilize the material, you know, so on, so forth, pain medication. We do that as a team. If you believe in what we're doing, if you believe that God's involved in this, and we would ask you to be involved with it as well. You're not paying our salary. You're not paying our overhead, because we don't have it other than radio expenses, other than website and webmaster to maintain and update that site. Those are our expenses. We pay for the travel, the training, the lodging, room and board of the people in TOT, and the materials we give away. If that sounds like something you're interested in, something you believe in, if you've benefited from this broadcast, then we are indeed prayerfully, sincerely, genuinely, seriously asking you to consider being a prayer and financial partner with us and or other ministries that you believe in. If not us, that's okay. Then give to the ones you do believe in.
Yes.
And do it now, because now's the time to do it, because the work of God needs to go on, and we need you to stand with us or stand with other ministries that you believe in, and so that they can continue the work God's called them to. But for those who want to do it, or at least part of your giving here, Daryl, tell them, would you, how they could do that?
I would do that. I also want to just mention, I was looking at some things as you were talking, so I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but I want to say on behalf of Ari Allen, our dearly departed brother, who's living a better life than we're living right now in heaven, Ari just wants to say, I'll say it on behalf of her, thank you very much for your gracious and your generous giving to her situation, and just God bless you for that, folks.
We really seriously appreciate that.
Well, Daryl, for those who don't quite still understand that, so our dear brother Brian went to home to be with the Lord, and Brian, of course, did a great job of you know, in partnership with his wife, of, you know, cracking the monthly nut to pay expenses.
Yes,
but we're helping the through the donors to this ministry. We are paying the health insurance premium for Brian's widow, and who's just a great gal, as you mentioned. And so that's what we're talking about here. That's another
really
way that your funds are used.
There you go. And you can designate. And you can designate. And either way, like I said before, the Lord bless you for your giving. But like Craig said, do not take away from a dime from what you give to your local fellowship and where you're growing in your most holy faith and sharing your spiritual gifts. But those of you that know you have the Lord's money out there and have plenty of it, then everyone, you know what? Everyone, see what you can give generously. Just make a in time, like Craig was talking about, because it's better for your tax wise. You're going to pay less taxes by doing this. Guarantee, of course, if you do the long firm type thing. But give whatever you can give. How about that? Every chicken in the barnyard, everyone listening to the sound of my voice, and all your friends and neighbors and anybody that know of you listening to this broadcast, hey, let's see what you can give. We appreciate that. And that'll go a long, long way. And so here's how you can do it. If you're going to send a check or money order or anything that's going to be mailed in, it must say on the envelope and on a negotiable instrument, Living by the Word or Live by Word or LBTW is fine. And then the address is P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009 is the zip code. Once again, make sure the envelope and the negotiable instrument says LBTW. Please don't send cash, and make it out to LBTW or Living by the Word. P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. For those of you that are on internet and you want to go to our website at BibleInfoBrokers.com, you can see the support and donate icon. Click that button. Simple instructions. I won't even insult you by reading them for you. You see them right there. Give accordingly. My suggestive method of giving to this ministry and all ministries, if you can, because right now you're allowed to get 100% of that funds to go right to the ministry without any fees so far. If they change, I'll let you know. Right now, it's 100% of the money goes into the ministry if you zeal it, Z-E-L-L-E it. And for those of you that have checking accounts and all that stuff, talk to your bank about it if you don't know how to do it, and you get those instructions from them. But Zelle is the preferred EZD. With that Z in there, EZD's preferred method on giving, because it does not take fees. All right, there we go. Appreciate that. Now, we only have about 10, 15 minutes. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to run right now, Craig, to Los Angeles, not literally but metaphorically, and bring Tasha on the line and thank Tasha for calling in. And Merry Christmas to you.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well, Tasha. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed. My question was, when it says God gave his only begotten son, does that mean like when they say this person begat that person begat that person, or is it that he only had one opportunity to have a son, his only begotten? Like, What does that mean? Which one is it?
Such
is
a
God limited?
Person.
He only got a one only begotten?
That's such a beautiful question to end this broadcast on, PCH. I don't want to take any more calls or questions after this. And I'm just going to take the baton, metaphorically speaking, because I'm going to eat a cookie while Craig is doing this and talk to her, Craig.
Well, Taj, this is a great question, but it is a possibility indeed that it's both and, that it is indeed his unique son. But let me just say this. The word is monogenes in Greek. That's a mouthful, monogenes, but it means not, it can mean just one, but it also means unique use a Latin phrase, really generous, one who is in a category by themselves. Sorry for the big words there, but one who's in a category by themselves, there is no one else in this category. So he is both senses that you've used that I'm going to argue it's both of them. So in John 1:18, for example, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, in Greek it's mono, M-O-N-O-G-E-N-E-S, monogenes, and he is the unique or one of a kind. So an example, a little bit of different use, and to bring out your question, in the book of Hebrews, it refers to Isaac, and it calls Isaac Abraham's monogenes, his one and only son. But remember, of course, he did have Ishmael as well. So technically, biologically, he had at least two sons. But the unique son, the one of a kind, the son of promise, was Isaac and not Ishmael. I hope that helps with the really good question you're asking.
Thank you. I just thought maybe because they said he gave his only begotten son, and they say begat is, you know, human beings, a man and a woman, had a baby and was physically, you know, brought into the world. And then they say his only begotten son. So does that mean his only one that came through a human being? Or are they saying, oh, God only got one chance. He could only do one, and that was the only one.
Well, it's more. It's actually a different word there in Greek. You are right. The concept of begot, also even in the Genesis, so and so begot so and so. So you're definitely correct in pointing out the meanings. But so I think it's actually both. But if you said okay, but is it one more than the other? I would argue that it's the one more than the other is not just it's the only one he could have. It's the only one who is the Son of God
uniquely.
We would use the word unique or the words one of a kind, as opposed to he only had one. It's that he is the only one true Son of God, because by Son of God, it also implies in the original language, that's his nature. Not just he's a Son of God, but his nature is God, and therefore he's called God the Son. Just like James and John were called sons of thunder. Their dad's name wasn't Thunder, but they were raucous. They were pretty rowdy. They were pretty hardcore in their disposition, and so they're called sons of thunder. In this case, Jesus, because of who he is called the Son of God. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. And so I just wonder, like, you know, Mary, is it like, did she have a son after Jesus, or she didn't have any, she had kids before him?
Now, our Roman Catholic friends would say, no, the word brother and sister can also, in Greek, can also mean cousin, or, you know, if you will. But we would argue, no, the text says she did have other children. Jesus is her first. There's no son or daughter before him. He's the firstborn. But he's still unique in the sense of, not just he was literally not the only son, but he was the unique son of Mary because he was conceived, if you will, or brought into creation by the power of the Holy Spirit, not through the fatherhood of Joseph as a human. So you're on the money there. You've got the right idea.
If I could, Craig, and Tasha, remember, this thing translated into the idea that's why that everybody wanted to kill Jesus, because him being a so-called mere man made himself equal with God by saying this, basically implying that situation, and that was going to get him killed.
Yeah, okay.
All right. But, Tasha, again, thanks for the phone call. Merry Christmas. Don't forget to share that you're listening to us by whatever media you have. Okay?
Yeah, and support questions. Very good questions.
Thank you very much, Tasha. God
bless you. Thank you, guys. And I would like, I want to give and donate and stuff, too. So I'll call back and try to do that. And I have some other things, like from some legal help I need that you were talking about. So
very good. I'll
give you guys a call back.
Thank you very much, Sasha. God bless you. Hey, PCH, you heard what I heard. I think you heard it, that our extraordinaire engineer, new Daddy Ozzy, soon to be again. We only have about 4 minutes. So, PCH, take as much as that 4 minutes you have, except leave me enough time to do my clothes.
Okay. Well, I do want to say, as we get towards the end of the year, we have next Sunday, and then I'm leaving to go to Southeast Asia the next day on the 1st. But a special thanks to you, Daryl. I always appreciate you, brother. Love you dearly and your partnership over all these years. As we come to the end of this year, I think of our brother Brian, who's with the Lord, literally. Special thanks to Eric and his work and his partnership and just stepping up and all the work he does for us. And we would be remiss if we did not thank the Wizard of Oz.
There you go. The Wizard of Oz.
All of his work and help, his wizardry, in the best sense, that is, of producing this program and helping to put it together with Eric. We're very appreciative of Ozzy and his help over all the time that he's been involved with us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you to our listeners who partner with us. And, of course, we thank God for the privilege of being able to do this broadcast. Daryl, over 25 years, now pushing 26 years this next year for me.
And you're still laughing, and you're still having a good time. And you're still having a good time with me. That's what's so amazing. That just shows the character of the man. Hey, now look, let's bring Eric on.
That were both certifiable.
I think so. Eric, any words for the listening audience? Just leave me enough time just to say one thing.
Well, I just want to jump on to what you said. First of all, for the Wizard of Oz, yes, our engineer extraordinaire, congratulations. As you were saying, we just found out he's got another daughter on the way. Ooh. And I wish him nothing but the best, and God bless him on that. And all of listeners out there, we love you all. We love your questions, no matter how tough they may be, how much they make us think or work for it. But I want to wish everyone a Merry, Merry Christmas. As I said at the beginning of the show, let us never forget the reason why we celebrate Christmas.
Indeed.
The birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, PCH, I'll take it here unless you got anything else you want to add.
No, Eric just said the only salvo I would say. It's been said, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to really, really ask that you, if you're a believer, to don't forget not only to just trust and believe in God, but just if you trust and believe him and you love him, he said to obey him, to do what he would have you to do. Live a Christ-centered life. Just take every thought that you possibly have and just make it captive to the obedience of Christ, and that's going to take a little work. So we have various ways that you can grow in your most holy faith. Every year I'm going to continue to post daily readings, and I'm going to even get a little bit more extra on it this year coming up, where I'm going to show you how you can actually listen to the word as you read the word. And then I'm soliciting questions and your comments so that you can record you commenting on the whole Bible by just dedicating 20 minutes of your time a day. Imagine that you will make a comment to be able to pass down in your legacy to your children, grandchildren, friends, and neighbors, and know that you love the Lord so much that you read what Daddy said, you read his word, and you commented on each and every chapter in the word of God. Have you ever done that? Well, take the opportunity to look forward to next year, the chronological reading that I will be posting. And on behalf of everyone that was already mentioned, everyone, we want to thank you, thank you, thank you. And you hear the music, so that lets me know I have quite a few seconds left. And I'm going to always say this, that if the Lord willing, we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Information Brokers. And my name is Daryl Easy D. Fulton, Mama Grace and Big Daddy's baby boy, saying thank you, thank you, thank you on behalf of the whole team. And don't forget that Christ-centered living, believer, give that antidote to the world, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified. God bless you. And if the Lord willing, we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Info Brokers.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.